Okay, we begin Sunday is always a good opportunity to renew ourselves. Renewal is a beautiful thing. Renewal is exciting, not to the exclusion. And it doesn't mean that sometimes when people think you renew yourself and you start new, one of the message I sent out, that means that you don't at all, you know, like you cut out your past. Renewal doesn't mean that you're not able to, process and deal with your past. There's a difference between dealing with your past and living in your past. Let's say it in that way, right? When you're living in your past and you're just repeating history, repeating itself, which is very common for all of us, that it's hard to, like we spoke a little bit Friday night, it's hard to, you know, reinvent yourself. It's hard to recreate oneself. It takes time, it takes energy, and it's also consistent. It's constant. It's not like, oh, okay, I renewed myself and that's it. There's a reason why Rosh Chodesh happens once a month. There's a reason why we say Chadashim Labkarim Rabba Emunasecha, right? Hashem could have made the world where you don't have to sleep, where there isn't a night and there isn't a day. But Hashem made it, right? It doesn't have to be that there's the beginning of a week and an end of a week or a month, right? It could be every 2 months is a month and a year is, you know, 3 years, right? I mean, the different options of the system that Hashem created could have been. Doesn't have to be kishesh yamim asa Hashem, 6 days of a week. It could have been 4 days of a week, but the pshat is that renewal is integral and part of something that's so important in our life, is to be able to start over, to be able to get a new start, to be able to feel fresh, to be able to, you know, start a new zman, you know, graduate from first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade. To have newness, because we are creatures, of habit, right? And we tend, paro is tichpat avoda, paro is same day, same boredom, my thoughts. We've spoken about this many times, that our thoughts are very repetitive. Our patterns in our brain are very, very repetitive. And it's important to learn to be able to have, that's why it's sometimes good to go on vacation. Sometimes it's good to get away. Sometimes it's good to be in a different scene. Sometimes it's different to get a different look, because it sort of like gives a person like a refresher. It gets you, it's one of the blessings of waking up in the morning like fresh. Chadashim labkarim, rabba munasecha. That Hashem says, Chadash, start new. You're like, it's one of the reasons we wash our hands. Because it's like, Elokai neshama shenasatabi, Hashem, right? The neshama goes back into the source where it came from. And then it re-enters. So the reason I say that is, as we get towards the close of the Zman, as we get towards the end of the year in yeshiva, sometimes a person could be like, okay, you know, how much already can I do? What already can I do? And that's not true. A person can, a person's life is today. That's really our life is today. And then someone's going to say, oh, okay, well, it's already 6 o'clock. I didn't have such a good day if life is today. So first of all, you still have time. You still have, another 6 hours till the day. Secondly, you also have tomorrow. A person can start tomorrow. A person could always start fresh. So one of the reasons I say that is we learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. I love learning Hilchos Lashon Hara. I said it over yesterday at the Shabbos table. I think I said it over yesterday at the Shabbos table where, you know, Baruch Hashem, I try and learn Lashon Hara, Hilchos Lashon Hara all the time. And it just goes to show how quick. I was sitting next to Yisrael Rosenberg at the meal, and it was so incredible. And he was eating his soup. We were all eating soup, and I was ready to eat my soup, and I was ready to ask Yisrael naturally, so how's the soup? So how's the soup? You would think that's like a very innocent, beautiful, simple question. But it's not. It's avak lashon hara. So I'm saying we sit here every day, we learn hilchos lashon hara. I try and learn the halachas every time I eat a meal. I try and learn a halacha. So at least another two times a day, so three times a day. And still, the natural thing is, you're gonna say avak lashon hara. It's very possible. The chulam ba'avak lashon hara. The Gemara actually says that. Avak lashon hara means it's the dust of lashon hara. It's like, it's not actual lashon hara, because there's nothing wrong with asking someone, how's the soup? L'chayra, I didn't say anything wrong, but it can feed into someone saying, it's not so good. That person just spoke lashon hara. So you set the person up to speak lashon hara. So why am I saying that? Because one of the benefits of learning the halachas, of learning the hilchos lashon hara, is just we protect ourselves. As the Chafetz Chaim says straight out, the way to protect yourself from speaking lashon hara is by learning the hilchos lashon hara. So if I know that I'm learning the hilchos lashon hara, not just from a psychological standpoint or this, that I'll know, I don't know if the word's psychological, not just from a practical standpoint, that I'll know the halachas. I know the halachas. But rather, I think he wanted to listen. What, he called again? It must have been. Was that the phone? Sorry. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we what, Rabbi Lazarus?
I said when you can't seem to learn the halachas, so you put a break on your mouth.
Right.
You know, you can't you only speak.
Right. 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 Correct. You put a break and you're doing, I'm just saying also more, like you're doing your shtadlus. You're doing your shtadlus, which is I don't want to speak lashon hara. Sometimes I might naturally speak, or I'm in a room, or someone might ask me a question. But if I learn the hilchos, halachas every day, then I'm doing the best I can. Yisrael, I was saying this story over. I said it already twice about when I asked you Friday night. You remember? What did I ask you? Well, I was going to. I actually didn't ask you, right? Did I ask you? I didn't ask you. What? Yeah, I just said it over. But what did I? I didn't ask you, did I? I asked? I said to you, I was going to ask you how the soup was, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't, because I was naturally was going to say, how's the soup? So why is that lashon hara? Let's just talk that out for a second. Why is that? And then I told them the story.
That's even a verbi serve from the soup.
What?
That's even a verbi serve from the soup.
Right.
Why is it lashon hara?
Right, good. So that's what I'm going to talk out. Because you might say that the soup's bad. Then I'm going to go over, so I'll tell you, then I'll go over, let's say, to Rabbi Friedman, or I'll go over to someone and say, the soup is bad. And then Rabbi Friedman might tell the cook that the soup is bad, and the cook is then going to tell, 1 second, okay, good, that's a good question. Good, so there are ways to do it. And then the cook, right, that's that famous story with the Chafetz Chaim. Famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, right, you all know, where he was in the inn, and the person was with him, and he said, oh, he told the waiter that the soup needs salt. And the Chafetz Chaim said, you just spoke lashon hara. And the guy's like, that's lashon hara that I said the soup to the waiter needs salt? So he says, yes, come with me. And they walked into the kitchen, and he saw the owner of the inn yelling at the cook, telling him that he's going to fire him, whatever it is, because the soup needed salt. Now, Chaim's asking a good question, and you're all asking, okay, so what are you supposed to do? Good, that's a good question. What are you supposed to do if the soup is salty? I just want to say one thing, just to share. I think I shared this many years ago. Maybe some of you will remember, but I remember it. When a few years ago, Yisrael, I told this to you Friday night, where I made, I don't know why, but I don't mean it like that, but I made the chicken soup for Friday night. I usually don't make the chicken soup. I'm not a big cook. I used to cook a little bit more, not a cook, but I remember I made the chicken soup. I don't remember why, but I made the chicken soup and, for my family. Sorry, for my family. And during the meal, I don't know if all my kids were there, my grandkids, I don't know how many people were there, but I remember when someone was asking for the salt, which is nothing wrong with that. You could, right? You want to put in. Inside of me, I was like, oh, like, is it really salty? Like, I was more critical on myself, you know? So it's like very easy sometimes when it's somebody else to be like, yeah, oh, it's not so good, or the chicken's not good, or you'll, you know, you'll tell your wife or whatever it is, or it needs this, it needs that. But when it's you, you know, we're much more sensitive to that. Yes, Reb Zev.
The host herself or himself is asking, how do you...
Right, that's a good question, right. Right, so probably not. That's a good question. L'chaira, that would be the person you would want to speak to. You could go over maybe to the person privately and in the nice way say whatever it is. I think, right, I think this, I think that. Maybe you could improve on that. Obviously, you want to be careful. Obviously, you got to be careful. You're not going to tell your wife, you know, in your first meal that she's serving you, you know, you go like, you know, needs a little bit more, you know, of, you know, I wouldn't recommend anybody doing that. Okay, over time, you could talk to your wife about certain things, but you have to be careful with that. Yes, Menachem. To what? To what?
To say that the soup needs all the salt. Meaning, I hear how going around spreading rumors saying, oh, he's a bad cook. He's a bad cook.
Right, right.
Because the soup, you know, is bland.
Right.
Fine, but like saying that the soup needs a little salt.
So let me try and find, right, let me try and find that story. Right, I want to try to find the story with that, yeah, here we go. If you look at page day 22, Gesundheit. Day 22. You have it. Day 22 in purity of speech. Yes, the statement. I'm just reading the bottom, Menachem. Yes, the statement that contains even the slightest trace of lashon hara can cause great damage. Here, page. You know, we'll do this as today's halacha. Day 22, page 66. You're not allowed to talk negatively about a food that was produced by a Jew. This might seem a little extreme. After all, we are talking about food, not people. However, picture how you would feel overhearing someone comment about you. Oh, she really doesn't know how to cook. Or imagine you were the caterer or baker. How would you react upon overhearing people talk negatively about your produce? For example, the challahs from that bakery are horrible. The kugel from that caterer is raw. The company's popcorn is stale. Right, so you're asking, Menachem, you know, it's not as extreme saying it needs a little salt or whatever, but still, the point is you have to be careful. Right, it's definitely, or whatever, it's definitely, you want to, that's why I was giving the example myself when, about my own soup. What's the big deal, honey? All I said was it needs a little salt. That's all I said. But meanwhile, when I made the soup, I was like sensitive, that's all. Right. Right. There are different levels. Right, there are definitely different levels. Obviously, that story, the Chavetz Chaim saying it is, you're right. Obviously, there are different levels, correct. Yes?
The case that you're saying with your own soup, like, let's say I like my soup salty, like, right. I'm the only guy that's
right.
doing it.
Right.
But you still feel, like, insecure about it. Is
right.
that on you and not me?
I hear. If what?
In the case where someone like said you pass the salt.
Meaning even that would be? Right, that wouldn't be. I wasn't saying that was. I'm sorry. No. I'm just saying that that's a sense. It's still a sensitivity, that's all. Right. You're setting it up. Correct. You're setting somebody else up, yes. Hashem will help us, why? Okay, good. All right, good. You're right. The point just is to be aware and to be sensitive to these things. Correct. You're right. It's just showing that people are, you could think, what's the big deal? All I said was that's the story, day 22, that the rabbi said to the Chavetz Chaim, what's the big deal? All I said was, right, what was the story? The soup could have used a little more salt. So you have to just be careful. That's all. Again, like Reb Zev was saying, if you want to go to the person and tell them, listen, I just ate in your restaurant, I think X, Y, and Z, okay, that could be different than telling the waiter or telling the boss or telling someone else. Yes, Reb Zev. Yeah. No. You can't. No. No. That's not. You could put salt on your food. There's salt shakers on the table. That's not. Obviously, you're a big tzaddik madrega if you're gonna do it. Not everyone's like you, Reb Zev, right? Not everyone's like you, Reb Zev, right? I don't agree with that. Some of us are. Okay, I want to, it's fine, Reb Zev. I want to talk about today, one of the things I want to talk about today is a very interesting topic, just to talk a little bit about a person having negius, which means that a person is karav etzel atzmo, and adam raya negayim chutz menegei atzmo. Which means that a person has blind spots. And a person has within himself areas that he totally cannot see. As you've heard me say many times, a person can see everyone in the world except for himself. I'm the only person who can't see me. And you're the only person who can't see you. And the beauty of having other people in your life, and we could talk about it a little bit, the beauty of having other people in your life is that they can give you insight into yourself, into areas, right, where you don't even know. And to you, you might think 100%, like, you know, like, what do you mean? 100%, it's not true. But someone else could look at you and tell you, you know, you have to work on this or you have to work on this. It's one of the beautiful things about getting married. It's one of the beautiful things about marriage. Marriage is an incredible, beautiful relationship. Marriage is a wonderful, awesome relationship that takes work, just like any relationship. And one of the beautiful things about marriage and one of the hard things about marriage is the fact that it exposes different things that you didn't know you had when you were single. You're like, you think, I've had this many times where someone's single in yeshiva and he thinks he's like a big tzaddik, and then he gets married and he's like, how did I become a Russia overnight? And I'm like, I don't mean Russia, obviously I'm saying extreme words. I'm just using it as a metaphor a little bit, but like, you think you're this great guy and then you get married and then suddenly, you know, you're this and you're that and you're that. You're like, what happened? It's like, nothing happened. You were like that. Just you were able to switch rooms whenever you had a problem. You were able to go sort of run away and leave that yeshiva or leave that shir or make new friends or do different things when it got uncomfortable for you. And you really never developed a real deep, intimate relationship. And when it's now time to develop a real relationship, maybe you actually have trouble developing a relationship, but you never knew that because you didn't have to do that. So that's just one example.
That kind of relationship where someone can criticize you and you could grow from it.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to trust them.
Yeah, of course. So Rabbi Lazarus is already segueing the next part to what I wanted to talk about. So the first part, which we will talk about, is how to set yourself up to have the people in your life, and who are the people, because you also don't want to just, I think what Rabbi Lazarus is bavarning, as they say, and he's preempting, is that of course, you don't have to go around and expose yourself and say, okay, everyone, tell me all my things that I have to work on. You can have specific people in your life, but it is important. This is really what I wanted to talk about today. It is important to be able to have in your life a person or people and to be able to recognize that I am blind to certain things about myself. And the only way to grow, really, well, that's a little bit extreme. A very important way to grow is to be able to get that feedback and that insight from other people. Whether it's, okay, we'll start with that and then we'll go more into details. Question, comments, please. Yes, Shlomi.
Wouldn't it be like before your marriage, then you would have to face those problems in your relationship before you get married?
No, it could be you're not able to, meaning you're not able to. You're not able to.
Would that be your blind spot once you get married?
Again, yeah. I was just using that as an example. You could have blind spots at work. You could have blind spots in your relationship with your roommate, with whoever it might be. You might have. Everyone has areas where they can't see themselves. So it's not, I was just using marriage as an example. It's in all relationships and all things that we do. We need people to help us to discover who we are more. It doesn't mean you can't have your stuff that you know about yourself, but it's so important to have the proper people in your life. You know, I've said this many times. You guys have heard this from me. Your friends are not necessarily the people who are going to agree with you. Obviously, those are your friends when you're younger. Like, oh, we all doing, you know, a real friend is a chavrusa. What's a chavrusa? Is Malashon Chaver. What's a chavrusa? Chavrusa is someone who's going to challenge you. You know, that's where you grow. Like, is that really the pshat? Is that this? Someone who can challenge you. Yes, Binyamin.
I was going to say, don't you say that you're the one who knows yourself
best? That what?
You're the one who knows yourself best.
Right. So first of all, it could be you. It could be in a certain way, there are parts of you that you know best, but there also are parts of you that other people could know better than you, just because they see it. Because we're blind to certain things. What?
How do they know?
Meaning what's the lumbus of it? How do they know? Because maybe they experience you. You don't experience yourself so much. Other people can. How many times could someone else give you insight into yourself, right? Based on what they see. We don't always. That's the point. We have negias. We're karav. We're sort of blinded. Right, a person, it's hard to see the negative, right? That's where Lashon Hara really stems from. Like, a lot of times we're able to see in somebody else something so clear, but within ourselves, it's very difficult for us to see that.
And it's the awesomeness of like a relationship with a Rebbe and a Talmud.
Yeah, you got a Rebbe, a Talmud, a peer. There are many different ways. I just want to be very clear about that. There are many...
Right.
Different ways. I use the example of your wife, but there are many, many different ways. And what's very important, this is what I'm telling everyone here, it's very important to have people in your life who are going to be there for you and can point certain things out. It could be that they are going to point out your strengths. A lot of times we don't see our strengths. It doesn't just mean weaknesses. A blind spot doesn't have to be a weakness. A blind spot could be that you don't even see the beauty that you have. You don't see the strength. Sometimes a person can be in an environment and they bring out in you amazing strength, and you're like, wow, this is awesome. They see these kochos. They see this power in me. Right? Many times it happens when a person goes to a school or a person goes to a class or he learns from a Rebbe or a different type of limud. Sometimes a person could be learning one sefer. And then he's like, oh, this is so difficult. And then you switch to another sefer and you're like, oh, I'm in love. So maybe, right? Or sometimes you could be by one Rebbe and you're like, oh, it's okay. And then you go to another Rebbe, it's like, whoa, I love it. Or you go to a yeshiva, right? You go to a yeshiva, you're like, oh, I was never successful in my life in yeshiva. And then you go to this yeshiva and you're like, wow, I feel great. So maybe it wasn't, you know, me. You know, maybe it was the environment that I was in. Yes, Simcha.
Could I expound on Rebbe's answer?
Please.
To Benjamin a little bit?
Sure.
I mean, even though while sometimes we can be blinded from things that either that we have or, you know, whether strengths or weaknesses, and once, I feel like once someone points it out, we ourselves will then know how deep that goes.
Nice.
Not always can we see it, you know.
Nice. Nice. I like that. Yeah, you're right. I think I'm not sure really what Binyamin really what was getting at so much, to be honest. Like I wasn't really sure what the question. Of course, like I'm me, and at the end of the day, like you're saying, Simcha, like you know someone can point out, but ultimately you know it has to resonate with me and it makes sense to me. But like that's a totally separate. Yes, the answer is yes, Simcha. Yeah, I don't think it's a contradiction to say, you know, it's like we talk about sometimes, you know, trust yourself. But at the same time, you can't trust yourself. So wait. So am I supposed to? The answer is yeah. You deep down, ultimately, you know, you're the captain of your ship. Deep down, it's your responsibility. Deep down, it's your life. Deep down, you have to resonate. If someone just goes and say, you know, my father, Alav Shalom, used to say, if one guy calls you a donkey, I mean, there's another way they say it in England. In England, they say it. I'm not going to say it now. But if somebody calls you a donkey, okay. If another guy calls you a donkey, okay. If a third guy calls you a donkey, go buy yourself a saddle. You know, so what's the point? The point just is that, you know, if someone tells you, oh, you're good at this. Okay, so he told you you're good at that. If someone tells you, you know what, you're not so good at this. You're weak in this area. Okay, if one person tells you, and then another person tells you, and then your Rebbe tells you, and then your roommate tells you, and this, so you got to scratch your head a little bit and say, you know what, maybe that's true. Usually there is a consistency. We all leave our fingerprints, so to speak, all over. We leave the same consistent fingerprint all over. So usually if someone's going to say something about you, most people will concur, right? You're not going to find like, oh, right? If I start telling everyone that Yaakov Coco is an amazing guy and he's an inspiration to everyone and he works on himself and besides his good looks and his dedication and he's someone who doesn't speak Lashon Hara, no one's going to be like, okay, Rabbi Fisher, you're just like, you know, trying to make him feel good. You're like, yeah, that's Yaakov Coco, like that's who he is, right? And I think we all have that, and in negative as well. If you're obviously not pointing out negative, you know, like, stom negative. But someone to say, you know what, I think you're a little bit, you know, you gotta work on your self-confidence. You gotta work on your, you know, you're a little bit, you know, you don't believe in yourself enough, something like that, right? So someone would say, oh, okay, you know what, I maybe that's something that I gotta work on. Yes, see. Yeah.
I've seen this point come out from Rebbe.
Yeah.
I was married for around a year, and me and my wife came to Rebbe, and my wife asked Rebbe a question like, "Does Rebbe know this about me? Can we confirm this with Rebbe?"
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
And Rebbe said, "I don't know. I will take your word for it because you know Tzvi a lot better."
Right.
And I was thinking like, "What? I've known Rebbe for like 8 years."
Right.
And she's only known me for 1 year.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right, but I was never married to you, right. So I can know you for 30 years, but you know. We're not married, so what? Now there are areas that could be that I could see in you that a wife doesn't see in you, because I see you. I've seen you in the Beis Medrash. I've seen you as from a guy to a guy, from man to man. We've learned Torah together. We've so good. So there, not that you don't learn Torah with your wife, but I'm just saying, you know, I've seen different things. Maybe correct, and that is also true. That is also true. That's why it's great to have a wife, and it's great to have a Rebbe, and it's great to have a friend, because then you're covering all your bases. And usually, you know, I just spoke to someone, I just spoke to actually someone's therapist recently. The person, the guy in Yeshiva, and I do this many times. If anyone ever would want me to do that, that's fine. I do it a lot where, you know, I'll give an opinion to you about something and then just check in with your therapist, and then check in with someone else, And then it's everyone usually comes. I just literally had this recently where someone had a real shaila, should they do X, Y, and Z? And I thought so. And I said, let's just double check. Ask the therapist who knows him very well. And it's like, yeah, that checks off. So that gives a lot of strength. That gives a lot of confidence. Like, yeah, you know, usually we're on the same track. I had recently, and the person's here, he knows what I'm referring to, the person in the Beis Medrash, where I totally had a thing. Me and the therapist had total, like, opposite. It was pretty cool. We had, like, totally opposite. We were like, I'm still, like, trying to figure it out, but we'll get there. But that was great also. That's an insight also. It's like, wait, one second. You know, my wife thinks something 100%. My Rebbe thinks something totally this. You know, my therapist thinks, okay, maybe you're a complicated guy, you know, whatever. Maybe there's more complexities to this than we think. Maybe it is a little bit more complex. That's also an insight. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Oh, I thought you. Yes, sure.
How do we choose this friend?
Oh.
Is it the one who talks to us?
Right. Right, good. That's good. That's a good question. That's a very good question.
And are we supposed to, like, expect the friend to call us out before we...
Again, right. So again, I don't know. I want to be very clear with what Shu is saying. It's not so much about someone calling you out. You could also have a friend who doesn't call you out. It's not, if I didn't make that clear, it's not always about someone calling you out. It could also be calling you out. It could also be someone giving you confidence. We don't always want to be called out. Sometimes we need people. So it's like a real friend or a real relationship with someone is someone who's going to do both. If someone's only calling you out and always calling you out, you know, I don't know. But when you have someone in your life, you know, listen, Shua, you're very blessed. I mean, if I could say, you know, you have, you know, Rabbi Feiner, who's a real gadol, who's a real Adam gadol, you know, Rabbi Feiner in Far Rockaway, you know, the Rav of the White Shul, a real tzaddik gadol. Anyone who knows him, who's heard of him, and you have a very close relationship, so you're very blessed. Aseh lecha Rav, you know, to have someone in your life where it's real, not just I'm going to, you know, some makubal and asking him, you know, should I do this or should I do that? You know, it's someone who knows you, that's very, very special. And it's not about calling you out. You know, it's about believing in you most of the time. Most of the time we need the chizik for those relationships. Encouragement, someone to as Rabbi Saul Salanter says, woe to the person who doesn't know his weaknesses, but even worse, the person who doesn't know his strengths. So to have someone in your life who could point out your strengths. Okay, we'll wrap up. Anyone else? Last thing?
Trusting yourself to ask for help.
That what?
Trusting yourself.
Yes. Binyamin Maishi Kaufman said a great line a few years ago. Those who know Maishi said a line a few years ago, which was so good. I think he might have made it up himself, that strong people, or let me say it better, to ask for help, you have to be strong to ask for help. When you're weak, it's very hard to ask for help. But it's ironic because the person who needs help, right, is sometimes you're weak, but you'll strengthen yourself. It's shameful sometimes. It's embarrassing sometimes to ask for help. Sometimes we don't want to say, like, I need help. We feel shame. We feel like I should do this by myself. I should figure. I'm using the word should on purpose in this context because that's how we feel. Like, I should know better. I should this. Why can't I figure this out already? But the most beautiful, I know myself, me and my wife have this, this might be a classic, like, manly thing to do. Whenever back in the day, before Waze and GPS, I don't know if it even applies anymore, but, you know, driving and asking for directions. I'm like, I'll figure it out. I'll this. I don't know, it's a manly thing? Okay, what a man I am. Right, so I know my wife always would be like, Yoni, why don't we just ask? I'm like, we'll get there. Like, she would always be like, why are you so embarrassed to ask? Why can't we just ask someone? I'm like, whatever. Anyway, so, you know, and we used to get there without asking someone anyway. I was saying that as a joke. I'm not saying that as a joke. But it's worth it to get lost and to end up figuring it out that I don't ask for help. That's the metaphor. The metaphor is, you know what, I'll end off with this. Akiva Drasnin and Yosef Weiss, you guys know Akiva. Yosef Weiss many years ago asked me a great question, and I think I gave a pretty okay answer to it. They asked me, Rebbe, you say, smash your rear view mirrors, don't look at the past, and just look at the going forward. Don't look at your past, just smash your rear view mirrors, go forward. But they asked, they said, we have a kasha, but let's say it's foggy, let's say your windshield wipers are broken, let's say it's raining and you can't see in front of you and you don't know where you're going, what do you do? So know what, Baruch Hashem, I answered, and I think it's a great answer, not because I answered it, I think it's a great answer. I said, what would you do if that literally happened when you were driving? What would you do if you couldn't see in front of you because it was too foggy? Your windshield, what? And do what? Either you'd pull over, wait. You could also call someone, call Chaverim, call Shomrim, whatever they're called. Call someone and ask for help. And you don't have to drive blindly going forward. You could actually get help. And maybe, you know, take it slow. Maybe you need to wait till the weather, till the storm passes. That was a good one, right? Thank you. Shua, you wanted to say something?
I was going to say, there's a reason the rear view mirror is very small.
Oh, right, and the big one. That's another one, right. That's another pshat that they say. That's why the rear view mirror is small and going the front windshield is big because you're supposed to focus on that, which is a whole different discussion, which we start off looking forward. But sometimes looking forward is scary. So the answer is take it slow, drive a little slower. You're going to get there. It's not how fast you're going. It's what direction you're going in. You could be going 75 miles per hour. If you're on the, I'll talk New Jersey Turnpike just to include everybody over here. If I'm on the, let's see if where the oilam was for Pesach. If you're on the New Jersey Turnpike 95 south going 75 miles per hour, he for sure knows, and you're trying to get upstate New York, 95 south ain't going to get you there. That's going to get you down to visit Yehuda down in Florida. So it doesn't matter that you're going 75 miles per hour. It's not how fast you're going, it's what direction you're in. So when you know that you're in the right direction, you could take it slow, you could chill, go a little slower, and you will get there. Hashem will help us all have an amazing first day of the rest of our lives. Thank you, everyone.